It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and my topic today, I want to talk to you about worry. My mom was a worrier. Oh, my goodness. That's the one thing I remember most of all. My mom really worried. Even though I would preach against worry, and she was one of my church members, it seems like that's something she never got a handle on. And I saw how worry can just devastate someone. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his followers, and he says this, "Therefore," that's an important verse, remember, when I tell you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow, they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, how much more will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first." Now, this is one of the most important verses in all the Bible, Matthew 6, 33. Get this now. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore," second therefore in this little passage, "do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, friend, I believe one of the greatest battles we face in the 21st century is the battle of worry and anxiety. In spite of the fact that you and I have heard 100 sermons on this subject, most of us have spent a great deal of time probably worrying even this past week. One thing we can all agree upon is it comes with the package called life. Worry is a part of life. My initial thought as I was reading this passage for the umpteenth time this week, what in the world did they have to worry about when Jesus was teaching them 2,000 years ago? It's not like their car broke down or the washing machine is on the fritz or there's too much traffic on the freeway. And yet it was so important that Jesus says to them 3 times in this chapter, do not worry. Can I at least get you to agree with me today that worry is both useless and it's hazardous to your health? Psychologists say that 95% of what we worry about never happens. Corrie ten Boom said this. She said, "Worry is an old man with a bended head, carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead." Worry is an old man with bended head, carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead. See, she understands that anxiety is ultimately foolish because it deals with that which isn't. You don't usually worry about the present. You deal with the present. We usually worry about the future, that which may or may not happen. And when we do, we're only bending our head under a load of feathers, and we're giving in to the enemy who seeks to paralyze us with fear. Friend, you know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7? It says, "God's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." Then where does the thoughts of worry come from? If God doesn't give it to us, where does it come from? It comes from the devil, your adversary. It's his plan to get your eyes off of God's promise and God's provision and God's protection. See, here in Matthew, Jesus is preaching his greatest sermon, And he addresses the subject of anxiety and worry. And he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about the body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" The King James actually puts it like this. It says, "Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life." See, worry happens in your thought life. Dr. David Jeremiah writes this in one of his books about worry. He says, "Worry, it lives in the future that can't be foreseen. It deals in what-ifs and could-bes, speculation and possibility. And as long as we dwell on the worst-case scenario, we guarantee our own misery. For an extensive catalog of calamity is always within reach of the imagination." Friend, two simple disclaimers. Number one, don't worry doesn't mean don't plan. And number two, don't worry doesn't mean don't be concerned. See, worry is inconsistent. He says, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" As many times as I've read this, the last part of it stuck out to me. It said, is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothing? What's Jesus saying here? Do you know how many things are going to happen tomorrow apart from your control that are much more serious than food or clothing? Like your heart's going to beat somewhere around 108,000 times tomorrow in a 24-hour period. 108,000. Aren't you worried about that? Your digestive system is going to take care of all the food you can eat, and your body is going to fight off germs and infections and do all sorts of miraculous things that you have no idea what's going on. And Jesus says, "You're going to worry about food and clothes? Remember, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff." Jesus is saying, "Who gave you this body? He hasn't gone anywhere. Your Creator knows your needs before you even ask, and He will see to it that you're taken care of." Why would He take care of the big things like making you breathe 108,000 times tomorrow and then forget the little things and seeing to those things like having food on the table? If you're going to believe in a Creator, then you have to accept the fact that you're His creation, and He will take care of you, friend. See, worry is inconsistent with God's plan, but it's also irrational. He says, "Look at the birds of the air, don't they? Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you're much more valuable than a sparrow." See, creation itself is one of the great testimonies of the Creator. You just look around. Jesus' first argument is, if God can give us life, surely then He can sustain that life. He surely can take care of all of your needs if He created you. But our mind is going to say, "I know God can, but who's to say He will? Maybe I'm not as important to Him as you, Pastor Keith." Well, look how Jesus attacks that question. He goes on from the highest of all of God's creation, mankind who was made in His image, and He reaches all the way down to the tiny sparrow that is sold for a few pennies, and He reminds us that He feeds them each and every day. He said in Luke chapter 12, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Two little coins, and you get five sparrows, and yet they're valuable to God." My friend, Satan has lied to you and told you that God's forgotten about you just because you're under attack. But I'm here to tell you today, God's measured each and every one of your trials, and He knows right where you are. How many times do we sing that little song, "He's got the whole world in His hands," but then we question whether He has us in His plans? As a matter of fact, Jesus said He knows every sparrow that falls to the ground, and the very hairs on your head are numbered. If God keeps that kind of an inventory of birds and hair, don't you think He knows what you're going through today, my friend? Jesus gives us an argument we can't refute. This time He goes from lesser to the greater. And he says here, this is inconsistent and it's irrational. Then He says in verse 27, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Matthew 6, 27. I suppose in over the past 40 years that I have been pastoring, I have been at the bedside of well over 100 people who have died, and I've yet to see one person pick up the clock and turn it back an hour, and when it comes to time, their time to go. God is saying here, what good does it do to sit around and worry about dying and miss out on living? It's not going to change when your time is going to come. Worry is about one of the most ineffective things you could possibly do. It's the biggest waste of time you could ever experience is by worrying. It's interesting that the King James uses an entirely different form of measurement. It says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? He gives the idea of measurement, not in days, but in inches, in cubits. I can't make myself become a Wilt Chamberlain, no matter how hard I try. I'm 5'10". Even if I get on my inversion table and I hang upside down, I've been doing it for months now, but I'm not any taller. I wonder how many years of our life are wasted by spending time worrying. See, for me, I learned the art of worrying from a real professional, my mom. And I remember one time when my mom came in and it was storming outside, and she's like, son, come on, we're going to go to your sister's house and be in her basement, because we didn't have a basement. And I just said, Mom, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm going to stay right here, and if I die, I die. Boy, was she upset at me that day. See, worry is ineffective. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Worry is like a lifetime of frantic running with no destination. It's like a treadmill. You get on that treadmill and you walk and walk and walk, but you don't get anywhere. Someone once said, worrying doesn't rob tomorrow of its sorrow. It robs today of its strength. See, worry doesn't make sense. And Jesus said, why do you worry about clothes? Even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like some of these lilies of the field. Can I tell you something? Let me be honest. I don't have all the answers, and I'm probably preaching to myself today because sometimes I struggle with this worry and anxiety in my life. And I remember one time I went into the doctor and I said, Doctor, I'm just feeling this anxiety. And he runs all these tests, and he said, write down on paper, Keith, everything you do. I said, well, I pastor a church. I'm the chaplain for the police department. I own a business, and I sell items on this business, and I have a daily radio program. I have a weekly television show. And I went on listing everything down, and the doctor said, you know what? It's time that you begin crossing some things off of your list. See, I'm a real in-control guy. I sort of have it together, and just the thought of me having anxiety, I have a hard time dealing with that. You know how many women have come into my office and told me they suffered from anxiety and panic attacks, and I thought, get real. And then one day, I felt it grip my heart, and I thought, this is real. This caught me off guard. This blindsided me. But look what Jesus says. He really is saying here, would you just relax and chill out like the flowers do? Well, how about being still like a blade of grass? Because he makes the lilies grow and he clothes the grass. And guess what? You're more important than that grass. You're more important to him than the sparrows that fall. This reminds me of Psalm chapter 46, and where he said, be still and know that I am God. See, friend, worry is not for the righteous. Don't worry, because God has got your future in his hands. Do you want to be free from the tyranny of worry? How do you do it? Well, number one, you need to set some priorities. He said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus has a simple prescription. Get your priorities in order. Seek God first and his kingdom, and then all these pieces will just fall into place, and God's going to take care of you, my friend. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil. Walk in grace, and I pray today that you'll be free from worry and anxiety as you begin to trust the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.